From Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout to the with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, good morning. Welcome to Living Water Church again. And, of course, we all know that this Thursday is what? Thanksgiving. And so that's our theme today, being thankful. And it is wonderful that we have this in our tradition here in our country, that we set aside that day where we gather as a family and we enjoy some food and some conversations and we say thank you to God. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a great tradition, but as Cheryl shared, it shouldn't be once a year. It really ought to become an attitude that we develop in ourselves of being thankful. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20 says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And then here's the verse 20, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you catch what's being said here in verse 20? Always, always giving thanks to God, our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that is quite a hard bar. When you hear this verse, you know, at least for me, I get these thoughts that begin to surface, like, did God really mean always? You know, is there any leeway in that? So let's just kind of look. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 18 says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Man, there it is again. And just in case we think there's some wiggle room, Paul says, this is God's will. Be thankful in all circumstances. So Paul's main subject here is prayer and thanksgiving. And then notice the important other words that's in this passage, always, continually, and in all circumstances. So Paul's talking about this continual attitude for Christians. It's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the soul. How we're to act toward each other. But how in the world do we make this attitude continually, especially when we think about it being in all circumstances? Well, I really believe it has to do with our perspective. We've got to get the right perspective of what Thanksgiving is. We need that proper perspective. And so just kind of thinking about having a proper perspective. I heard about this letter that one young lady wrote home from college. And you maybe have heard this letter before, but if not, this is what she wrote her mom. She said, dear mom, sorry I haven't written sooner. My arm has been broken. I broke it in my left leg when I jumped from the second floor of my dormitory when we had the fire. We were lucky. A young service station attendant saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes. I was in the hospital for a few days. Paul, the service attendant, station attendant, came to see me every day. And because it was taking so long to get our dormitory livable again, I moved in with him. He's been so nice. I must admit that I'm pregnant. Paul and I plan to get married just as soon as he can get a divorce. I hope things are fine at home. I'm doing fine. I'll write more when I get a chance. Love, your daughter, Susie. P.S. None of the above is true. But I did get a C in sociology and flunk chemistry. I just wanted you to receive this news in its proper perspective. I could tell you what, if I ever wrote that letter to one of my parents, I'd find out what a proper perspective really looks like. But, you know, to be thankful in all circumstances, we do really need a proper perspective of those circumstances and of our God. Only then we'll be able to give thanks to the Lord always in everything. Now, I believe there's at least three attitudes that will steal our gratitude. Three things that will keep us from being thankful. And by the way, if you are a list person, you're going to love this sermon. I got a whole bunch of lists for you. If you hate lists, I apologize ahead of time because I just have a lot of lists for us as we look at Thanksgiving. But I hope it just kind of helps us organize it. So the first attitude that can really affect our Thanksgiving is our pride. This is the attitude that said, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have. For years I worked hard and now it's finally paying off. And with this kind of attitude, we feel that there's no one to thank but ourselves. I did it my way, in my own abilities. Another attitude that keeps us from being thankful is a critical spirit or a constant complaining. You know, instead of being grateful, this person is always finding something to complain about. Maybe you know someone like that. Here's an example of one I found. A lady known as an incurable grumbler constantly complained about everything. At last, her pastor thought he had found something that she would be happy about. And because this year, her farm crop was the best for miles around. And so when he met her, he said with a beaming smile, "You must be really happy, Jane. Everyone's saying how healthy your corn looks this year." Her response was, "True, it is pretty good. But what am I going to do when I need bad corn to feed the pigs?" A complaining attitude. Always seeing the worst, even in the best of circumstances. A third attitude that keeps us from having grateful is carelessness. Someone once said that if the stars only came out one time a year, we would all stay up to watch them. But because they're there every night, we rarely look up at them because we've just kind of become accustomed to them. The Israelites, when they left Egypt, they're heading to the promised land, they began grumbling because they didn't have food. So God miraculously sent this stuff called manna, which was like a crust-like bread that they could bake. And it covered the ground every day except for the Sabbath day. And then, though, they started to grumble because it was the same thing every day. They had a miracle straight from God every day, but they were no longer satisfied. You know, if we have these issues of pride, of carelessness, or a critical complaining spirit, we will never be truly thankful for all that God has given us. Rudyard Kipling was a great writer and poet, and he wrote books like The Jungle Book and the book Kim and many short stories, including The Man Who Would Be King. Unlike many writers, Kipling was one of the few who had the opportunity to really enjoy his success while he was still alive. He also made a great deal of money from his trade. One time, a newspaper reporter came to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that someone calculated that the money that you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word." Back then, that had been a lot of money. Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The reporter cynically reached down to his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill. And gave it to Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now you give me one of those $100 words." Mr. Kipling, he looked at that $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, "Thanks." You know, he's right. The word thanks, it's a $100 word. In fact, I'd say it's more like $1 million word. It's one word that is too seldom heard. And it's too rarely spoken, and often it's just forgotten. If we could all just adopt an attitude of thanksgiving into our lives, how it would change our life. We would truly learn to appreciate each and every day. You know, if any nation ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness, it ought to be America. And any people in America ought to be thankful to God and grateful for his goodness. It really ought to be us who are Christians. So here are three things that the Bible teaches us about Thanksgiving. First of all, Thanksgiving should be expressed. You know, one of the choruses we sing comes from Psalm 100 that we just heard said, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart." David said in Psalm 107, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." We should express our thanks to God and others often. In the Gospels, in the book of Luke, chapter 17, we read about 10 men who were healed by Jesus of their leprosy. And out of those 10 men, only one came back to give thanks. And Jesus said, "Well, where are the other 9? He was the only one willing to take that time to go back and say, "Thank you." And because of that, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Have you ever wondered why Jesus said that? I mean, like the others who had been healed from leprosy, they were already healed. They were healed as soon as they left to go to the priest. But when Jesus says to this one man, "Your faith has made you well," he wasn't just talking about the physical healing of leprosy. He was talking about a spiritual one, a mental one, an emotional one. He was completely made whole. And we, too, are made whole by our thanksgiving. It lifts God up, and it glorifies him. And thanksgiving endears us to him, us to him, and him to us. It draws us closer. And so psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude, thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions. Hans Seeley is considered the father of stress studies, and he said that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. And a thankful heart will endear others to us and us to others. And so Thanksgiving is not only good for us, it's good for those who hear it. And the challenge is that if we're not grateful, if we don't express our thanksgiving, then it can actually have the opposite effect. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, Paul says, "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused." This passage implies that people who are ungrateful to God, that they'll begin to soon fade away. Their hearts will become hardened. And here we see pride keeping people from worshiping God and being thankful to him. So before we leave this point that thanksgiving should be expressed, let me just give you some ways that you can say thank you to God. You know, the first one is just to spend time with him. Not just on Sunday, but every day, having that appointment with God and just be in his presence, it tells him that we're thankful. Another one is when you forgive others, even the ones who don't ask for forgiveness, even the ones who have wounded us, even the ones that we have forgiven 100 times already. Another way is when you serve in his church. A fourth way is when you share his plan of salvation. I mean, what a greater way can you say thank you to God than to share what God has done in your life to someone who's not a Christian yet? A fifth one is when you reach out to hurting people. All right, another powerful way that you say thank you to God. Thanks for what you've done in my life. Thank you for healing me. I am going to take that healing and help someone else find healing. You know, your most powerful ministry is usually connected to your deepest wounds that God has healed. And using that is saying thank you to God. Another way is when you give God the best of your time, talent, and treasure, the resources he's blessed you with, as you give it back, it says it causes you to say thank you. And the last one is when you choose to praise him enthusiastically from the heart, from your whole being, it is saying thank you, God. Our thanksgiving should be expressed, and then it also should be expansive. As our thanksgiving expands, it should include 3 things, and one is the blessings of life. You know, how many can say after you've finished eating a meal and you notice all the dirty dishes in the sink, Thanks, God. Probably not, but really we should be. When we see those dirty dishes, although it means we got some work to do, it also says we just had a great meal that God has provided for us. Our prayers, they often tend to be very general. We say, thank you, God, for all your blessings. But what are we really thankful for? The hymn says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Our thanksgiving should include the blessings of life, but it also should include the burdens of life. And this is a tough one. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks. And you might think, well, surely Paul might have made a mistake, or maybe he's exaggerating, or maybe he just had an easy life and it was easy for him to say that. But it wasn't. Paul suffered from a very difficult problem that he called a thorn in the flesh. And then he just kind of lists all the challenges he had been through. He'd been run out of town many times. He'd been beaten and whipped and imprisoned and betrayed by friends and cold and hungry and shipwrecked and stoned where people threw rocks at him expecting him to die. And all of this because of his faith. Yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. Paul said several things that really show us that he had the proper perspective of the burdens of life. In Romans 8, verse 18, he said, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Then 2 Corinthians 12:10, he said, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And also in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, and I know, want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, all those trials, all that time in prison, all the painful experiences, has helped to spread the good news. So when we, like Paul, have this proper perspective, then we can choose to give thanks in all circumstances. In our weakness, God is made strong in us. When we are struggling, God's able to work in our lives in much powerful ways, and we can say, God gets the glory. He did that. I was weak, and he made me strong. He helps us go through times that we just would not have been able to make on our own. And so looking back over my life, I can honestly say that I have learned to be thankful in all the very difficult circumstances that I have had to face in my life. Now notice I said I was thankful in them, not that I was thankful for them. I don't believe Paul is saying that we have to be thankful for our problems and our wounds, but rather that we're thankful in them. And being thankful in them allows God to use them for his greater good. The Philippian jailer was ready to take his life because an earthquake had freed his prisoners. But what saved him was the attitude of Paul and Silas during their difficult imprisonment. You know, they were in chains, and yet they were singing and praising God. And they knew God would help them as they went through this difficult, painful challenge. And because of their joy, the jailer and his entire household ended up becoming Christians. Understand, others can come to Christ because of our example, especially of how we handle the difficult times. Our thanksgiving should include the blessings in life, and it should include the burdens of life, but also it should include the benefits of life as well. When the Israelites focused on what they didn't have, they failed to see all that God did give them and what they did have. You know, we often find ourselves constantly adding to our prayer list, but more than anything, we should really be adding to our praise list, to the things we thank God for. Jeff Moore was a contemporary Christian artist many years ago, and he had a song where he says, well, I wonder what today will sing. Will I find my dreams or stare in the face of tragedy? Whatever may come, whatever may be, of this I am sure, I'm forgiven and free, and I will live like I believe. It's good to be alive. It's good to be alive, to feel the wind in my face and see the blue in the sky. It's days like this. I realize what a gift it is. It's good to be alive. And I am sure that we've all had our difficult days to go through. And many times, maybe you've even had experiences where you despaired even for your life itself, as Paul talks about. But it really, if we can look and see all the benefits God provides, even in the worst of the worst, I think we'll find that it is good to be alive. To feel the wind in our face, to see the sunrise, to be loved, to see a newborn child for the first time, to receive a hug that tells us that we're special and loved. An experiment was done in New York City Central Park, where an advertising firm dressed up a man as a blind man, gave him a cup to collect money. And one day they put a sign on his neck that read, "I'm blind." And on that day he collected $4. The next day they dressed him the same way, they placed him in the same spot but changed the sign to read, "It's spring and I'm blind." That day he collected nearly $40. That day, as people came by him, they realized how blessed their life was. The beautiful flowers and the birds and the sunset and the sunrise. And as Christians, there are also other benefits of life. We can be sure that we're forgiven and free. It is good to be alive. So not only should our thanksgiving be expressed, and not only should it be expanding, but also our thanksgiving is expected. Paul says that we're to give God thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for us. This is God's will for you. And he knows if you'll do it, that your life will be changed. Henry Frost served for many years as a missionary to China. And in his journal, he wrote of a very difficult time in his life. And he wrote, "I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. And then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, 'Try Thanksgiving.' I did, and in a moment every shadow was gone, not to return." Yes, the psalmist has it right. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And so have you been going through some difficult times lately? Have you prayed about it and it's just not really gotten better? You know, have you given it to God, but those dark emotions just have just still remain, even getting worse? Then maybe it's time to give thanksgiving a try. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, to have a thankful heart. Oh, to take the time to count our blessings. To not get so caught up by the things we don't have. By getting so caught up in comparing ourselves to our neighbors, maybe even to some of our family members, but to choose instead to stay focused on what you have blessed us with. May that be our thanksgiving this week. May we even today just take some time to thank you. Even in this moment of prayer, may we just say, "Thank you, God," and begin listing. Thank you for this life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for my family. Thank you for the freedom I have to come to church on a Sunday. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for the health that I do have. And we could just go on and on and on and on. May our focus become on our blessings, so that all of the comparisons and all of the what I don't have and all of the darkness of our wounded souls melt in front of a thankful heart. God, I pray that for each one of us, that the power of thanksgiving would restore us to be completely whole again. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.